sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Addiction medicine specialist.
Okay. Now, where's my carpet? My pad?
Drew's a carpet remnant that I've been trying to get him to use for...
Which I've been using.
7 years.
You were trying to get me to arrange. Once it was arranged, I was using. Now, listen. See how crazy this noise is? Just moving stuff around like I always do?
Somebody stole Drew's carpet remnant.
You're the one that's going to
from his
crazy.
Desk.
Hey,
don't look around.
You guys, anything? The carpet piece?
No. Oh, look, who needs it? Drew, can you set your goddamn cup on the corner of my piece of carpet here, which is 8 inches in front of your microphone, for Christ's sake.
I'm not aware of this stuff. I'm thinking of other things, big guy. I'm sure it won't happen. I want to
thinking of other things.
Keep you happy. I don't want you to be... Is that it over there against the wall?
Drew's carpet remnant has been found, everybody. Here's the deal. It's a bad design, but over here at the studio, we have a console, and the console has oak around it, has a nice piece of laminate, possibly for mica, on the top. And whenever you set anything down on it, such as a mic stand or a coffee mug or a pen or something, it makes a clink sound. Drew always drives me nuts clanking his coffee mug down on it, because as you know, I'm all about good radio.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
So there you go.
Strong work.
Drew got his carpet remnant back, and he can clank away. Oh, man. I'll tell you, I was traumatized when I got home last night.
Uh-oh.
I had a long day yesterday. Left the house about 9:10, 9:15 in the morning, and I came home about 12:30 last night after the show. So it'd been a pretty long day. And no sooner did I plop my ass down on the sofa. I have a ritual of drinking red wine and watching TiVo for about an hour and 20 minutes before I go upstairs and go to bed. And heard a little scratching, a little noise, a little this, a little that. Opened the basement door. Giant rat.
Oh.
Giant rat. And to me...
And you're by yourself.
By yourself. The whole house is dark.
Yeah.
And the basement's lit up. You got the shoes off. You know what I mean? You've already had a glass of wine.
Did you get one of those 1960s housewife with apron kind of jumping back onto a chair or something?
I did step on the ottoman to get back onto the sofa on the way back to the sofa. And it's like, I'm barefoot, I'm in my underpants, I got a glass of red wine in me, I've had a 16-hour day. The rat turns around and starts making its way down the stairs into the bowels of the basement.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Now what am I going to do? It's 10 to 1.
You're going to get a cat. You're going to shut the door. You're going to go to the vet, the pound the next day and get a cat.
That's what I should do.
Yeah.
Will the cat work? The cat will work.
No problem.
Oh, cats. You know what cats do? They don't stay at your house. They patrol.
Yeah.
They're on constant patrol, right?
Yeah, constant. Except when they're sleeping, which is 22
about,
hours.
23 hours a day. But that 45 minutes they're up and about,
they're
not
patrolling.
Eating patrolling. Or sleeping. They're on patrol.
Or crapping or peeing. They'll pee all over the place, too.
So the rat headed down the stairs, and I thought, well, I could go after it. I thought, where's my BB gun? That was my first thought.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's like a 12-year-old boy reaction.
Well, I don't have a shotgun. I just got a BB gun, you know. I got a pellet gun. It's a pellet gun is no BB gun. It's a man's BB gun.
Yeah. All right.
I got the pellet gun. I thought, well, I'll go after it with the pellet gun. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll go out after it with, like, a sprinkler key or mop or something. And then I thought, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to go down there. The thing's going to get in the corner. It's going to go behind. It's going to go into the washing machine. You know, a little open panel on the backside. It's going to somehow get into something, and I'm just going to go nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be freaking out. And then what do I do if I catch up to it? I kill it with a broom?
No. Yeah. You just let it go.
The thing is big.
Yeah, you let it go.
It's a good size. I mean, it was a big one. It was like novelty size.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, you know, people go, oh, there's a rat, a mouse,
Adam,
or whatever.
Yeah, here's the reality.
Novelty size.
You've been cohabitating with that rat for a long time.
No.
Yes.
No, I know
how
what you're saying.
How do you think it got so huge?
I got so huge.
Living in your house.
He's been eating my hair while I'm asleep. That's how he got so big, according to Drew.
He's been visiting your hamper. Lots of protein.
No, how dare you. Even a rat's not low enough to visit my hamper. So, you know what I decided? I'd put some poison out because I'd hurt him earlier in the week. Right. And I'd rationalize he's ate the poison. He's clinging to life. And I'm going to let him just die dignified death in the basement while I go upstairs, finish watching the TiVo, beat off, go to bed. And I'll just come collect this corpse tomorrow morning and probably give him a burial at sea.
Oh, yeah.
And I came down there this morning, flashlight in hand, wearing the shoes and the underpants, but wearing the boots, you know, looking for some protection because they'll lunge.
Oh, sure.
Once you corner rat, sure. They'll lunge. And couldn't find it anywhere.
But he left a few droppings.
No droppings and no sign of the rat, the huge rat. So now, of course, it's somewhere. Fine.
By the way,
and let me say this, too, about you goddamn nocturnal creatures, if you're listening. They never make any noise during the day. Never a sound during the day. And I'm home then at night. I'm home from like 7, 7:30 to 9:30, just sitting watching TV. Never a peep. Never anything. The only time the gnawing, the scratching, the sounds, it's 1 a.m. It's 1 a.m. that starts. And it's like, it's just enough to let me get settled in and then unsettle me and then send me to bed so I can dream about rats.
Let's be serious.
I wouldn't care if it did it at 3:30 in the morning. I wouldn't care, but it's right. It's like 12:45, 1 o'clock.
Let's be clear about something else. Big rats like that don't live alone. No way.
You're saying there's blacks with them. What do you
say? Hey, listen, I told you about me and my bobcat experience on Sunday night.
But that's nothing. This is a rat.
I was in the backyard with a kitchen knife and a bat chasing a bobcat.
But bobcats are like, they put them in Disney movies. They're friendly. This is a beast. This is a formidable animal.
The thing that attacked our cat.
Your bobcat is outside. It's not in your house. What if there's a bobcat in your house?
My wife was outside shrieking at the time, too.
Your wife's a lot more dangerous than that bobcat will ever be. Believe you me.
It'd be a good match.
Bobcat probably would have done a better job on my European trip. Jennifer,
do you want her to?
No. I'm handling. I got it under control.
She asked me that tonight. I didn't know what to answer.
Under control. Under control. Jennifer.
Yes.
You're 16.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Where are you in San Jose?
Yeah.
I'm gonna need to sleep over at your place tonight.
Okay.
All right. Tell your folks. Tell I got a rat in my house. I can't go.
Okay.
Home. I can't go.
So my question is. I took the shower with my boyfriend, and, we decided to, you know, have anal sex. I don't know how that came along.
What was that again?
We're going to have anal sex.
What do you call it again?
Butt sex.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So, like, okay.
We decided.
So he put it in.
How did you come to that negotiation? How did those negotiations conclude it? The seal put on the page and...
He goes, well, let's try something different. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Change it up a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. So he puts it in, and I'm like, you know, that hurts. You know?
Right.
It hurts.
Right.
And my knees start shaking, and then he keeps doing it, and for a couple minutes, and then, I passed out.
You passed out.
I got really nauseous and lightheaded, and I just passed out right there.
Yeah, that's great.
And I woke up, and I'm like...
He was still going.
No.
It was early the next day.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, what just happened, you know?
You didn't hit your head or anything?
No, I'm fine. Mm. It's just, it scared me. I didn't, you know?
What about the hot water falling down on you, too? Does that do anything?
My God, she had something in her ass. Give me a break. Look, there's something called a vasovagal reaction where your vagus nerve is stimulated and nausea is... it suggests that there's sort of you're having a visceral reaction, and the vagus slows the heart down, and it decreases the blood supply to the brain, and down you go. Okay.
So what do you think? In the old days, this is what would have happened. Like, when your mom saw Donny Osmond at the airport, this is what happened to her.
Right.
Unfortunately, we've come to a time in society where her daughter has to get it in the ass in the shower in order to elicit the same response. But nevertheless, it's been passed from one generation to the next. All right, Jennifer, more of that in the shower.
That, and you really, recommendation would be to have it be checked out because it's kind of a serious thing.
And Drew?
Yeah.
Has anyone given any thought to the tub? It's really it's really a minefield of danger.
It's where most of the accidents in the home occur, the bathroom.
Yeah, like why?
90% or some of serious accidents occur in the bathroom.
Well, think about the tub. It's cast iron. It's painted in porcelain. It's slick. It's curved on all corners. And just stepping into the tub with the bare foot and the water sloshing everywhere is, I mean, you hit half on the curve and the foot slides a little. You got the other foot on some tile. Well, there's trouble there. Then everything that protrudes from the tub, at least the older style ones.
It's like Indiana Jones, like spikes.
Yeah, I got a knob. It's like in my house, I got the rat's probably in there right now. Maybe it'll hurt itself in my tub. That's what I'll pray for. I should pull the tub out and stuff it under the house. Maybe we'll get the rat, kill the rat that way. But the knobs at my house have, you know, they're the kind of handles that have the four. This sort of looks like a cross.
Yep.
Got the four. I mean, any one of those take your eye out.
Absolutely.
It's like somebody is like, yeah, the one-handled knob, not dangerous enough. Let's up it tenfold here and put the four prongs in. You got the other thing sticking out. Everything's made out of something that if you hit your head on, you're down for the count. No one wants to, there's no modifications being made. No one's got any ideas.
Oh, yes, there are.
You get old, they put a bar there. Right. But I'm just talking about designing into the new home.
I'm with you.
All right. The heated tub. Nicole?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yes.
What's up?
Nothing. Well, yeah, actually something.
All right.
My boyfriend, Kevin, he has split personalities. Like, when my friends are around, he'll be all mean to them, and he'll be mean to me. But then when I'm, like, when we're by ourselves, like, alone, he'll be, like, all sweet to me and stuff.
How about when his friends are around?
When his friends are around, he'll be mean.
Well, mean to you.
Oh, did she say her friends?
Yeah, I think that's what she said. Didn't you say that?
We, like, hang out with the same friends.
I see.
Oh, so your friends are his friends?
Yeah, certain men have a tendency to do this.
Yeah.
It's like they are embarrassed or ashamed to let other people see that they have tender feelings or that they could, you know, be a couple with someone.
Yeah, I think they look at it as a weakness or something.
Well, you're some sort of vulnerability, and they don't like other people seeing that in them, even though his real feelings are that he does like you and he does want to be in a relationship.
But, you know, it's a balance. Hold on, I got a sneeze here.
I will wait. Don't worry. Take your time, buddy.
It left.
It could be that rat. Those rat hairs.
There's... You know, when I was a kid, I got rat mite bites. Mites from a rat.
How do you know it was your mom?
No. It was over at my grandparents.
Yeah, but how do they know? Who knows their rat mite bites?
Because my grandpa captured one and, like, took it in somewhere.
The mite?
The mite. Oh, my God. This is the grossest thing in the world. I'll tell it after we talk to Nicole.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm suing. It's all in the lawsuit. It's all in the lawsuit.
It's your family. The suit against your family.
I'm primarily suing my family. Yeah, but my grandparents are included, too.
Yeah, right, that's what I mean.
Yeah, including my grandfather's deceased.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going after the casket. Nicole?
That's why you're frozen.
Yeah. What the hell? Oh, yeah. Guys do this all the time. Why don't you just tell him?
Yeah, tell him to knock it off.
You can shame him a little bit.
Remember, you're in control. Women are in control of relationships.
And you know what? If you really want to embarrass them, tell them to stop showing off.
He'll always, like, ignore me. But when he asks what's wrong, then he'll just be like, he'll ask what's wrong, and I'll be like, you know what's wrong. And he'll be like, no, I don't.
No, he probably doesn't know. He probably doesn't know. So just be, pretend you're trying to teach him something. Show him what he does. Tell him how it makes you feel and see if he can accommodate.
When I was, 10... I used to sleep over at my grandparents' house all the time, and everyone in the house got these rat mite bites, and they were all over everyone's body. And true...
You're talking about scabies. You really are.
No. These things, I'll tell you what these things look like. They look like miniature volcanoes on your skin.
Yeah.
They were the size of, you know, a boil, and they were open at the top. In big eruptions.
Huh.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Huh.
And you know me. You're talking to the guy who's the two-time recipient of the Ass Carbuncle.
Right. How did you... You've seen them all.
Never seen anything like it. Large and open at the top. Just the shape of an open volcano.
How did you get the mite?
Apparently, like a rat had died or something. And these little mites, little critters that live on it.
Who?
I told him my grandfather felt like something bite him or something, like in bed or what have you. And he caught it and he like took it in somewhere. And they're like basically, fleas for rats, essentially. And everyone was destroyed by these things.
Rats have fleas.
Well, these were...
mites. These were mites.
Yeah, I don't know what they were, but they bit everyone in the goddamn house, and it was the scariest, craziest, funkiest, most alien-looking skin thing you've ever seen in your life, and it was grotesque. Thank God I was like 9 and couldn't fully process what was going on, because I would have just run down the... Thank God I wasn't stoned.
How did they treat you?
If I was stoned when I heard they were rat mites, I would have just put a shotgun in my mouth.
How did they treat it?
Yeah, just a bath and...
Quill.
What's it? Quill?
No, those days.
No, we didn't have the mites. They jump on you and bite you like fleas.
I see.
What do you think? I was carrying these things around?
That's...
Listen, jackass, I told... All right.
The scabies are mites. Scabies are mites.
I'm not scabies.
I
didn't say scabies. No, you had scabies in your mind. You jumped to scabies. They jumped on you and bit you like a flea. Leanne?
Yes.
Ugh. Grotesque, Drew. You've never seen any skin thing like it.
Oh,
you have?
I've seen grotesque skin.
Wide
things.
Open. They all look like volcanoes, just wide open. You're 22. What's up?
Not much. I just have a question. I actually have a scenario or what's going on, then I'll have a question.
There you go.
Is that okay? All right. Yeah. During intercourse, I don't have orgasms, like never. And I was just wondering, my question is...
pretty funny. She's amused.
Do I?
Go ahead, man.
Just the question is there something I'm doing wrong, or something I can do more, or...
No, that is most women, yes, that is common. You do have orgasm with, say, oral sex, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
That's you're in the average with that.
You're doing good. You're having an orgasm, which puts you slightly ahead of the game at 22, I would say.
Yeah. and having it during intercourse is unusual.
Okay. When is that, like...
When will that...
I mean...
Most women, that never happens.
Never happens.
Never happens. Not in any kind of regular way, certainly.
Regular way.
In my experience, never, ever, ever. One woman, ever. Never, ever. Never.
Never, ever. Okay, good. I don't feel so bad.
All right, you're fine. Yeah, that's all right. How's, right. You married?
I'm separated, yeah.
Separated. Okay.
Yeah.
How's that going? Good?
Good, I guess, yeah.
All right. You're going to get back
to... I like being separated.
You do? You're going to... Yeah. What do you do?
Florida.
You strip? What do you do?
Oh, no. No, actually, I work for Walt Disney World.
Same
difference.
Yeah. What do you do there, just out of curiosity?
I'm in merchandise.
Which country?
Animal Kingdom.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're selling, like, stuffed tiggers?
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's all Simba and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's the big move? What's moving now?
What's moving now? Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch.
Of course.
Yeah.
Big movers.
And
Lilo, is Lilo the Hawaiian chick?
Yeah.
And
Stitch is the monster.
Yeah, he's Stitch, a little alien.
He's the alien, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Good movie.
Yeah. Good movie.
Yeah, here it's good. Your kids into that? Suck?
Oh, yeah, they went to it.
Suck big time. Blew big time, Drew says. What, did your kids like it?
Oh, yeah, they loved it.
It's great when you're a kid. You just go to every movie and announce it's the best movie you've ever seen.
What did my son say was the best one they ever saw? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Scooby-Doo. My son announced it was the best movie he'd ever seen because there's our buddy Matthew Lillard has about a 4-minute fart scene.
Wow.
And in the middle of the scene, my son leans over and goes, "This is the best scene I've ever seen in a movie." Leans over 2 minutes later and goes, "This is the best movie I ever saw."
He called it a day. I believe he called it a cinematic triumph.
Triumph, he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's nice. See? Yeah. See? He'll remember that. And then what ends up happening? This is what ends up happening to kids. He'll see that movie. He'll say it's the greatest movie he's ever seen. Then he'll never see it again.
Yeah.
Then I'll run into him 30 years from now.
He'll be 22, yeah.
And I'll be talking to him, and he'll tell me the greatest movie he's ever seen in his life was was Scooby-Doo. And I'll tell him it was a stinking pile, flaming turd. And he'll say, "Oh, no, no." And I figured this out. When a movie hits you between the age of, like, 9 and 13, it's the greatest movie you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've done this many times. I ran into someone who was telling me that the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, best movie he'd ever seen, you know? And I was like, that piece of ass Steve Martin movie, that sucked, you know? And they're like, oh, man, it's my favorite comedy. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, let's see.
There's a window about 15 to 17, too, where favorite comedies start to come of age. They're still crap.
Right.
But you really, you kind of still remember them.
No, you do the math. You go, okay, you're 26. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels came out in 87. You were 14 when you saw it? Yep. I'm like, okay, that's why. You think it's great? You think, yep. You think corn dog's the greatest food you've ever ate? All right. You ready to take a break here, Drew, or what do you want to
do? Oh, yeah, let's take a break. Let's go see this cinematic triumph that we have performed in here.
Okay. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back with Emma, who's 13's mom is crazy, after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's just watching a little tape of a man show bit he was in, and it is over now. So he is walking into the studio. I say in 5, 4. Here he comes. 3, 2, 1. Dr. Drew, everybody. Emma.
Yes.
13 years old.
First off, I just want to say, Adam, in 5 years, I'm going to lose my virginity to you.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great to get a list. How to get
you
that
are
list
so hot.
Going. Yeah.
I love you, Adam.
I love you
too, Dr. Drew.
I love you.
Thanks, Emma.
Where, what, you're in Santa Rosa? Is that California?
Up near San Francisco County.
Yeah. We'll check the statutory rape laws. May not be as many as 5 years.
You could maybe
run
for state senate and have them changed.
Yeah, how about that? Get a change to 12?
Well, no, wait a minute. You can't wait, you were saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe no one will find out.
Yeah, we should stop talking about it, though.
Yeah.
Okay, what's up?
All right, my mom just, like, I don't know. She always, like, yells at me and, like, she's just, like, crazy, like she kind of talks to herself once in a while. Like, I'll walk into the kitchen and she'll be like, oh God, there's no more cheese or something, and she'll be like,
Adam, you routinely do that kind of thing.
Adam does,
right? The kitchen, where's the coffee,
but it's okay if Adam does.
I don't really, what I do mainly alone is I fart and then laugh. And I think that's sort of like talking to yourself, you know?
Well, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the audible laugh, though. I mean, I think a lot of people may break wind and smile a little bit, but I actually guffaw.
Okay. But, I don't know, do you, like, talk to yourself in the fridge? Or, like...
Well, you put your head in there and go, like, Dijonais, Dijonais, Dijonais. Where are you hiding, Dijonais? I don't think that's nuts.
I don't know, but she talks to the car, too. One time, she told the car it was stupid and it broke down right when she said it.
Yeah, it's another thing. People don't talk. By the way, people don't talk to their car like they used to. Because back in the day,
the car had a name.
Everyone talked to their car. Because especially when you're a little bit poor and you're growing up, my family always had piles of crap, so it would be like, come on buddy, don't fail me now, ying 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 ying, ying. Come on, sweetheart, come on. And then they go nuts on it when it did, you son of a bitch.
Well, where are you going with this, Emma? What is it you want to try to say about your mom?
Like, over the, will be like, just the other day, like, I go to my friend's house and her parents, for some reason, they called my parents and told them that they always catch me to Mexicans' cars and, like, driving with them, you know? But that's not true. My parents that, and now my parents, like, won't let me, like, go anywhere because they said that. And I don't know. I just, like, my friends recently have been like, have you ever thought that, like, one night you'll go to sleep and then the next day you won't wake up? I just want to, like, have fun, you know? But I don't, like, drive around with Mexicans. And
First off, Mexicans drive burros and donkeys. Am I right, Drew? I don't believe they drive cars. So there's a hole in their logic right there, right off the top. I don't know.
I can barely track.
I don't know. Emma sounds a little nutty.
Mom sounds
a little nutty.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Emma. I'm guessing Emma's dad's not around.
Yeah.
And Emma's got a... What happens a lot, we haven't talked about this in a little while, which is one parent sort of skips out on the family, usually Papa. then Mama stays around, does the best she can kind of thing, while Papa's living somewhere in Florida, normally, doing a lot of deep-sea fishing and banging a lot of ugly barmaids, really, and boozing a lot. And yet, he becomes sort of glorified in the child's eyes. And Mama, the day-to-day parent, the one who stuck it out, gets all this crap.
Demonized.
Yeah. Right. So, Emma, take it easy on Mom just a little bit. She sounds like, Emma sounds intelligent, like she's doing okay. And if your parents are a little bit wacky, get involved with school and kind of stay out of the crosshairs.
Yeah, and as far as this friend reporting weird stuff, why if it's so bizarre and untrue, ignore it.
Right.
Just forget it.
Right. Hey, Brandy?
Yeah?
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
I think I have a solution to your rat problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I heard Coca-Cola, feed them Coca-Cola, and they'll die because they don't, like, burp or fart, nothing.
Yeah.
But they'll explode.
Yeah.
So
you should,
Yeah, they'll explode. Yeah, everyone has one of these harebrained wives' tales things, and it never works.
How about just rat poison?
Have you ever tried it?
Yes, many, many times. As a matter of fact, I conducted a study at Bowling Green University in the mid-80s that lasted 4 years. It was a double-blind study in which we used Pepsi and Coke, and it turns out the rats like Pepsi better, 65% of the rats. Yeah, they were surprised themselves.
Why?
Why? I don't know why, but when in a nationwide taste test with Coke and Pepsi using rats, turns out that rats...
It's not a taste test. It's Coke has something that Pepsi doesn't.
But yeah, I know. It has something that makes it taste crappy because rats like it 3-1 over Coke.
You seriously have tried it?
Yeah, I've tried that with rats, yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess not. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, baby. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. All right.
Didn't we already mention the fact that you use rat poison?
Well, here's the other thing, too. This is nonsense. You can throw a rat in the toilet. You can flush the toilet. The rat can slide down the trap that's built into the toilet and then slide down the other trap that's in the plumbing and pop out into the sewer and run down the sewer and pop out the sewer grate and come back into your house. Now, how's a goddamn teaspoon of Pepsi going to kill it? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't think gamma radiation kills rats.
Yeah.
Don't tell me beverages do. It's nonsense. Oh, yeah, I could just see. You give it an eye drop of Coke, and the thing just explodes.
Yeah. Pow.
Guts everywhere. Please. And how do you give it? What do I inject it with the Coke, or what do I do?
Tube feed. Send as you tube down.
I give it like intravenous Coke injection. Christina?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yeah, I'm 19. And I have a question. Okay, I guess I'm kind of sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with me is that I'm always wet, like even when I'm not turned on. And because of that, like it gives like a really bad odor. And like when I'm with guys, you know, it has to be like, oh, wow, just sex, you know, like I can't have a guy go down or, you know.
Yeah. How do you stop him from going down?
You know what? I just say I'm too shy because, you know, I'm like kind of like chunky. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm too shy. And like, okay, you know. So then I'm like, oh, well, let's just do it, you know. So yeah. Like half of the time I'm usually just kind of like pretending that I'm drunk, you know. So they can just like do it really quick. And like I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't know. Like I think that's kind of embarrassing.
Well, wait a minute. You've never seen had a pelvic exam?
No.
Okay. Well, if you're sexually active, you have to do that. You have to do that.
Right.
Women that are sexually active in your age get cervical cancer very easily and very commonly. And that's a deadly condition. You need to take care of that.
Christina.
Yeah.
How chunky are you?
Sort of chunky.
Yeah, you could say that.
Well, what do I give you? What are you coming in at? Height and weight.
Oh, well, I'm like a tie my weight, but I'm like 5'6". And, you know, just like, I don't know, chunky. I don't want to
5'6", about 180?
A little more.
Okay, let me do the radio math here. 5'6", more than 180.
A little more
than 180.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got 5'4", and 15/16 true. Ooh. And 189. Yeah, but 189 to 194, actually.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Just went up to 205.
It's like, woohoo!
We're at 205. What do you think of 205?
Yeah, it's pretty damn close.
Well, close? We're now at 218.
No, like, yeah, fuck, yeah, right there,
Okay, now we just got to 222.
Is that like, I don't know, that's kind of embarrassing. Nothing to grow her weight. It's not right.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Now, Drew, if you're a bigger gal and you got like, bigger people sweat more.
Yeah.
You got the thighs pressing together there and the belly and everything.
There's more moisture and there's more estrogen, too.
Oh, you make more estrogen.
Yeah, and the estrogen can create some of that moisture.
I don't sweat. Like, I really don't. I don't know.
Good. Well, that's fine. But you also can have more moisture, such as it is.
But aren't those big, meaty thighs like Tupperware?
No.
They just hold the freshness in there? Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, I mean, look at it this way, Drew. You know when you see these spindly chicks and they're walking away and their knees are rubbing, but there's open space all the way up to the vagina?
Uh-huh.
You know that? Well, it's like driving with the windows rolled down in your car, right?
Sure.
And then you see those chicks where the thighs rubbing together. It's like the calf hits, the knee hits, and then it's one big solid block all the way up to the small of their back. It's got to create a little more moisture in there, a little more heat in there, a little more friction,
at
right?
At very least, a little less circulation.
There's not much air passing through there.
That's right.
If you painted that girl's vagina, it would dry half as fast as the one I took, the waif one.
What kind of paint are you talking about?
Latex, okay. Weather beater,
yeah, right.
10-year warranty, exterior probably in a semi-gloss or eggshell.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you. But I'll tell you what, the estrogen can have a profound effect on that, too.
All right. So maybe Christina should just focus on
getting an exam.
Okay. But also, you know, 5'5 and 200 and change is at 19 is probably a bad direction to be going in.
Yeah, a good idea to get a little control of that.
Yeah. So
obesity is a real problem in our country.
Yeah. Hey, Christina,
mm-hmm.
Let's focus on the diet and let the vagina take care of itself.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Just, you know, eat right, get a little exercise.
Okay.
You come over to my house, you chase that rat around.
All right.
I'll send you down in the basement.
Okay, well, thanks, you guys.
All right. Oh, she's mad.
Why is she mad? That's weird.
I don't know. I think it was the weight thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't give it. Well, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't a bogus call, was it?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think so. I think she just couldn't. What's startling about it is like she's like, oh, thank you, nice. You know, it's like, okay, we'll talk with you, and then you're a prick.
Yeah, well, technically an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. All right, baby, keep packing it on. And
But you know what that though suggests to me, though?
Hmm.
If there's that kind of sort of, you know, trigger rage there ready to go, and what the weight may be about is, you know, defend against being close to people, and I just immediately start thinking about abuse patterns and things.
Yeah. All right. Clay?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, there's this girl, and she's like 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And we met like July 4th, like at this party, and like I've been really into her ever since.
Have you been seeing her?
No. I'm trying to figure out a way how to. To break it.
July 4th. Huh?
Have you ever seen her again?
Yeah. I talk to her all the time.
On the phone?
Well, no, when he's on the toilet.
On the phone?
Yeah.
And you haven't seen her again? Clay, I'm asking, have you seen her again? Have you dated her?
Oh, no.
No,
that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know.
You just talked to her on the phone?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask her out?
Because, like, she's 17 and, like, I'm 14.
And yet you keep talking to her regularly?
Yeah, like friends.
You met her July 4th.
Right.
And did you get her number?
Yeah.
So you've been calling her?
Yeah.
And what kind of stuff do you talk with her about?
Just life in general.
How long did you stay on the phone with her?
Roughly half an hour.
How many times have you talked to her since July 4th?
6 or 7. Online.
She's probably wondering online. How many times have you actually heard her voice?
Oh, 6 or 7 times.
Right.
I talked to her online.
Probably wondering why you haven't asked her out, I would think.
When you asked for her phone number, how did you ask for her phone number?
Well, we kind of just traded phone numbers.
How did that come up?
Like, can I get your phone number? Yeah, I'll give you mine, too.
You asked
Never any satisfaction out of goddamn callers, is it? Did you say to her, like, hey, it was nice talking to you. I'd like to talk to you some more. How about we? How about you give me your number? Or did you say, like, maybe we should get together? How did you do it? Who does she know? Why was she at that party? What are you leaving out of this story, Clay?
She was, like, a family friend. Her parents are family friends, and she just came along with her parents.
Uh-huh.
You've never met her before?
No.
And how is it you never met her before if her parents are family friends?
No, I don't. Just, it's kind of like when you don't meet your cousin until you're like 18 and stuff, something like that.
And then again, I didn't. Yeah, whatever. I still didn't hear how it was the conversation about the phone number came up.
Can I get your number?
You asked her.
Yeah.
And how did she react to that?
She was like, oh, sure, we could talk and stuff. And she.
Just ask her out. Yeah, you definitely have to ask her out, and that's that.
She also got off a long distance relationship 2 months ago, though.
Ask her out, Clay. Just spend time face-to-face and see how it goes.
Now, hold on a second. Here's what's going on here, Drew. I get the feeling that there's something that Clay isn't telling us that is leading Clay not to ask her out.
Right.
She's sent some sort of message to him, somehow done something, talked about this other relationship.
Or talked about the age difference between them.
Clay, she ever said anything to you to indicate that she didn't want to go out with you?
She talked about her boyfriend a lot, like how her relationship like ended and stuff, but the big problem that I called for was like how to talk to her and how to break the ice.
Well,
what you've been doing?
I don't normally do this, Clay, but I'll do the phone reenactment scenario with you. Okay.
All right, Clay. You're
Clay. Clay, you ask me out. What's her name?
Lauren. Sorry.
Huh?
Lauren.
Hey, man, that's my sister's name, dude. What's up? Okay. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Bring. Bring. Hello.
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 Is Lauren there?
Go with it.
This is
He's a method actor.
Hold on. Lauren! Phone! Hang up. Mom, hang up. They sound exactly alike. Hello? Clay?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Lauren.
How are you?
Come see.
Sick?
Yeah. What's up?
I was kind of wondering if you would like to get together.
What for?
Just to hang out and talk.
We can talk on the phone, can't we?
I was meeting on a more intimate level.
Ooh, intimate. Where are we going?
Dinner.
Ooh, what kind of food? I like Italian.
Would she be driving?
We'd walk.
You walk? Where are we eating? The Arby's?
We'll go to a nice Italian restaurant, I guess.
Okay, I like that Italian.
Okay.
Yes, those people can cook.
All right, so Saturday at 8?
Saturday at 8.
Okay.
All right, bring a corsage.
Sure.
And I'll bring the boutonniere.
Right on.
And I'll see you there.
Okay.
All right.
He's fine.
He's fine. He used the word intimate.
Yeah, shocked.
I thought
gonna walk her to dinner.
Yeah,
she
I was
that stuff.
14. I thought intimate was that Danish. I thought it was that pastry company.
In Tenements.
Yeah. That's what I thought that was for until I was like 19. That's what I thought they make a fat-free pound cake. It's delightful. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Clay is fine.
Clay's fine, yeah.
Clay's fine.
And we'll see whether or not the relationship is fine.
Yeah, ask her out, call us back.
Find out. Yeah.
That's right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Got a showdown with my rant in about an hour and a half. Looking forward to that. You know, it's going to be, the other thing hasn't moved. It's been catatonic, and it will start moving around as soon as I get home, about 1:45.
You got to get that pose that I struck Sunday night with the, you know, these Aboriginal poses with the kitchen knife and the back. I mean, I was crawling through the bushes in the middle of the night. There you go.
You know, the problem with the rant is you walk around your house, you're standing by the sofa, you're standing by the bed, and you're fantasizing about what's under it now. That's the, you're picturing coming out.
You've been living with this rat for probably the whole year.
It's been under the house. Oh, I've heard it under the house.
Well, what do you think?
No, it's not been that long. It's not been that long. Not really. I know my rats.
And believe me, ain't one. No way. No way.
Yeah, it's one. Oh, no, it's a work of one rat.
Yourself.
Yeah, it's a lone ratman. It's true. How'd he get out of my basement, though? Rebecca?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yep.
What's up?
I have a friend who is gay. She thinks she's gay. And she told me that she can't see herself with anyone but me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a good friend of yours?
Well, we were best friends for a long time. And
yeah, but Rebecca, you're not gay, right?
No, not at all. Okay, and I told her.
All right, well, there you go.
But the thing is she was molested in third grade. We were together through that.
You knew that was happening?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was going on at school.
Oh, my God. Did you have to witness it?
I witnessed him leaning over her and kind of threatening. I didn't know what was going on at the time, though.
Wow. When did this come to light?
She started talking about it in late second grade.
But it happened in third grade.
Well,
premonition. Eerie premonition.
You found out about it. And was this guy reported?
Well, when I found out, I was kind of livid. Like, I always was trying to protect her because she was kind of little and I was always, like, bigger and trying to protect her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my mom, and my mom called the school, and we tried to get into it, and two other kids came forward and said he's doing things, but it was a small town 10 years ago and he still worked there. No charges were filed. They sat all the little kids down and said, admit it, this didn't happen.
Oh boy.
Like, I just kept crying. I couldn't believe it. Like, afterwards, I was sitting outside the office after they'd sat me down, and he came over and was leaning over me and was like, I forgive you for doing all this, and like right up against my face, and it was really creepy. And he still, can I say his name?
No.
Oh, dang it. Yeah.
No, I don't care.
What
do your parents think? Do they believe you?
Well, it wasn't about her, it was about the...
I know, but did they believe what happened?
10 years ago, I've never brought it up again.
Wow. The guy never lost his job?
No.
You have more than one kid coming forward reporting the same activity?
Two girls and a boy, all. And I knew two of them, and then one girl I didn't know very well at all. And I talked to the two I knew, and their stories were exactly the same to me.
Yeah, right.
Did your friend have some other abuse history as well?
I don't know. I don't think so. I've known her since first grade and never has, but, like, I listen to your show all the time, and I love you guys, just so you know. You're awesome to me, both of you.
Thanks, Sweet Pea. I'm going to molest you next time
I see
you.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that girl who earlier said you could have her virginity, you can have mine, Adam.
Do you still have yours?
Yeah, you can have mine. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's two.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
have it. It's such a bizarre concept. Here, take this.
Yeah.
Right. Get my Dodger tickets.
I'll trade you some semen for your virginity.
Wow.
But.
All right. So listen,
well,
Lynn.
You're not a lesbian. You need to maintain that boundary with your friend. I understand she's somebody you care a great deal about, and you are sort of codependent on her. Be careful. There's kind of an enmeshed quality of the relationship where you're always rescuing her and this sort of thing. Get her to some help so somebody else can actually do the helping, and then you can just be the friend, which is what you should be.
Right. Lynn?
Yes.
14.
Yes.
6-year-old boyfriend is jealous of your friends?
Girls.
Your girlfriends?
Yes.
Yeah, I said, okay, your friends.
When he's around guys, he'll talk about how it would be cool to be with me and another girl. But when we're around other girls, he gets really jealous. So I'm not sure if he wants to be with another girl with me.
Oh, boy.
Or if he's
This is a young lady thinking not with the male brain.
Are you having sex with this guy?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And are you seriously considering a threesome with this guy?
When I met him, I had a girlfriend.
Oh, baby. What happened to you?
Thank you.
I don't know.
Bad parenting?
Of sexual abuse.
Sexual
and,
abuse?
And chaos. Want to bet?
I was raped when I was 4.
There you go.
Who did that?
Parents, drug addicts?
My parents? Oh. I don't think so.
Who raped? Do you know your parents?
Do I know my parents? Yes, I do.
Who raped you when you were 4?
My grandma's neighbor.
Mm. Is that illegal in Florida? I think that's still just a misdemeanor. Is it not in Florida?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. And did you report this person?
It was reported.
Have you been treated?
It happened in Wisconsin.
Mm. Where this is.
So it was reported after I moved to Florida, and they said that they couldn't do anything about it.
Have you been treated for this?
I've gone through a lot of therapy, yeah.
And this was an older man,
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was 40 years old or something?
Well, at one point my grandma was married to him, so I'm pretty sure he was pretty old.
Your grandma was married to him.
And then he lived next door?
And your parents were normal people?
Yes.
Why do I...
They're divorced now, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy, and did this guy, what did he do? Did he have sex with you?
She was raped, she said.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Nick, leave the room.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's pick this up after that.
All right, hold on. Lynn.
Yes?
Hang on a second, all right?
Okay.
We got to take a little break.
Okay.
I got to go rape the urinal, so hold on a second.
Okay.
But don't worry. Oh.
Oh, man. Poor Lynn.
Oh, I love these guys. What a delightful old F this guy is.
Oh, he's probably 38 at the time.
Married to the grandma.
Lynn's grandma. Might have been 26.
All right, we'll find out after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's hop back to the phones and speak to Lynn. Lynn is 14. Her boyfriend's 16. She's having sex with him. She got raped when she was 4 by grandma's ex-husband.
Is that, by the way, the grandma's ex-husband your mom or dad's father?
No.
No.
Okay.
How old is your grandmother right now?
I don't know.
Approximately.
I have no clue.
30? 70?
Probably around 70.
Really? No clue, huh?
No. I don't really talk to my grandma a whole lot.
Okay.
She lives in Wisconsin.
Okay.
All right. How old's your parents?
35. Yes.
All right. So was this man approximately your grandmother's age?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I wish this guy would die a horrible death. Mm-hmm. It would be
yeah,
nice.
So do I.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that because if he shows up dead, they'll blame me.
No.
Nah.
No.
That's fine. I'll take the blame.
Congratulate you, but not.
Yeah. All right. So, have you gotten some counseling?
Too much.
What do you mean, too much? This is the kind of thing that would take years.
I've been in counseling for like 4 years.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Look, are you using any kind of protection so you don't get pregnant?
Yes.
What are you using?
Condoms. Plus, I make them pull out, so.
Condoms and pull out. All right.
Yeah.
Well, don't let them go in without wearing a condom. You can still get pregnant that way.
Yeah.
Okay. No threesomes.
What's going on with your parents? Why do I pick up just chaos in your family of origin?
What?
A lot of chaos in your family?
I don't know. I just come from a long line of horny women, I guess.
Yeah. That just means victims of abuse, pretty much.
Right. That's what that means.
Okay.
Well, you were a victim of abuse, Lynn. And that's what creates sexual compulsion, right?
I don't know. Personally, I like sex.
Okay. Well,
I understand that, but you sexualize everything, probably.
True. Right. Listen, I'll go home and talk to my rat.
Yeah, for
more meaningful conversation. Lynn, listen to me. I'm on damage control here.
Don't get pregnant.
Don't get pregnant. Don't have the threesome and don't get pregnant. All right?
Okay.
And don't kill yourself and try to enjoy life.
Why would I kill myself?
I don't know. Just take it easy on yourself and don't get pregnant, please, okay?
Okay.
All right. No cutting along the way.
Look, I know this stuff's in the news a little bit with these guys, these horrible pedophiles. But we got to do something with these guys. They destroy lives.
Yeah.
I mean, they just ruin them.
Uh-huh.
They just, look, they'd be better off. The kid would be in better shape if the guy just took a crowbar to him.
How
and just
this,
beat the crap
like,
out of the crowbar.
This kid, Samantha Runyon, that guy was already, these things are not perpetrated by guys who are doing it for the first time. They increase the thrill they need. You understand?
Right.
They get more kids, more bizarre, more intrusive, more violent.
Right.
Here again is the thing. This is something that happened to them. And the amazing, you know, it's something that was wired into them, and it needs to be controlled.
Well, it needs to be really stomped out. It needs to be extinguished is what it needs to be. I mean, here's the thing, too, about these kinds of crimes. These crimes of a sexual nature, which is other crimes have to do with money. I mean, we have to do with product.
Or,
you know what
or
I mean?
Some sort of violent, you know, people.
What I mean is, you know, you rob a bank. It's not because you hate banks. You rob it for money. You're high on drugs. You steal a car stereo. You want to get a fix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're raping kids, you're raping kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, hey, can you stop doing that? Well, yeah, stop doing that. See, now, when a guy is stealing for money, stealing because he needs a hit of crack, stealing because he's got to pay his phone bills, stealing whatever, he wants money, well, you cure the guy's crack addiction, and he stops stealing.
Right.
You get him a job, he stops stealing. But when you're effing four-year-olds, you're effing four-year-olds. You're not doing it for anything. There's nothing to cure. Do you see what I'm saying?
There's no motive.
Maybe, but there's no motivation to.
There's not some ancillary motivation. Not something else causing the desire to screw with the kids.
Right. You have a job. You have a wife. You have a whatever, and you're effing the neighbor's kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's just you're just taking a chance at effing the neighbor's kid. Mm-hmm. You get nothing out of it, but a boner.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we got to put a bullet in your head. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why you need the bullet, because that's just pure, unadulterated motivation, and you can't get rid of that motivation.
Just drive, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, if you think it's a good idea to bang a four-year-old at any point in your life, you need a bullet in your head. There's no curing that. There's no, oh, I see what I did was wrong. Yeah, I crossed the line. It's not going to happen again. I'm on the straight and narrow now. You know what? I was high. I had four beers. Do you know what I mean? If that thought even scampers through your head, like that rat in my basement, forget about lingering there. Even if it just runs through, you need to kill yourself.
And somehow it was contained through much of history. You know what I mean?
I don't know how contained it was.
We've really broken it loose, though, in some way in recent years.
I think we killed these people, and or no one ever talked about it.
No one ever talked about it, but also there were really serious boundaries to this, you know?
Yeah.
Barriers to this kind of behavior that after the 60s and 70s, like, hey, whatever. Now you have books about kids being sexual beings. You have these crazy books that are being written now.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just being uptight to, you know, to try to think that a four-year-old wouldn't want some kind of sexual... are you...
Ooh, Drew with the F word.
You better blot that out.
Watch that, Ken. Drew used the F word on the air. He got fired up, everybody. He's a passionate man. Yeah, listen, I don't know what the answer is. I know that... To me, everything's a car analogy. I think some cars get stolen, they get stripped, they get in an accident. The insurance guy looks at them and goes, yeah, we can fix that. And then there's other cars where they just go, it's total. Just crush it, strip it, and crush it. And that's what you got to do to the 45-year-old who decides he wants to sink his filthy grubby mitts into a 4-year-old. It's got to be crushed like a car that's burnt beyond repair. Brian?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
Speaking of cars, you're 20.
Well, I just wanted to say first, Drew, it's great to hear the F word, because I was listening on hold and there's no delay.
Oh. Drew fired up, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, so now you say...
I work as in the service department of a BMW dealership, and I hear you talking about your M3.
Right.
And we got about 15 of them in with the seats are just collapsed. The cushioning just becomes collapsed and the springs start to poke through.
Whoa.
On
what year?
The 2001s to 2002s.
What model number?
What do you mean?
What model number?
BM3s.
I know, but what are they? What's the body style?
E36.
E46.
E46. That's
retard.
Right. I'm 20, man. I just started working.
All right.
But yeah, the spring.
Hold on. How come I know more than the guy who works at the BMW dealership?
You know,
don't I
everybody.
Always tell you that?
You know more than everybody about everything. So
okay.
Be it.
Thank you.
Why are you always surprised by that?
I don't know, because I knew you didn't know it was E46, even though you worked at the dealer. All right, let's not get caught up on that. You're right. You're right.
So the springs poke through, and they make your asshole as big as a mason.
Oh,
there we go. I didn't know it.
Springs poke through the seat. Drew, listen. When I saw that thing up there, and it said, there's a recall on your BMW, it's very tempting. It's tantalizing. Although I looked at it and said, wait a minute. One of our callers is going to tell me something I don't know. Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible. Impossible. It's never, ever, ever, ever happened in the 7 years I've been here where anyone has surprised me with one kernel of knowledge or truth. E36. I did like his comeback. I'm 20. I like that. Springs poking through the sea. All right.
Good times.
Wait a minute, though. He did know the E36 part. All right. Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
What do you know about E36?
Well, I know it's E something, the three generations.
How do you know that?
Before you told me you got the one with the box flares, like the 91.
Yeah, that's the E30.
Yeah.
All
right.
So
I was just out in the dark. I know cars pretty well.
All right, the E36, not bad.
Okay.
All right, good time.
Have a good night.
All right. That's a good guess. Sam?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
I've been on birth control for 6 months, and I've gained quite a bit of weight, but I'm getting off it, and I was wondering if I'm going to lose the weight when I get off.
Usually women lose it pretty quickly.
All right.
So just, obviously you have to contain your body will very often fight to maintain weight. I mean, that's just the way our bodies are. So you may have to focus on your diet a little bit, but usually it's pretty easy to lose that weight. Usually.
All right.
Okay. How much did you gain?
About 25 pounds.
That's a pretty fair amount. How much did you weigh before?
120.
All right. All right. So are you a tall person or?
No.
All right. It should come off. Just pay attention.
All right.
All right. Good times there, baby.
Thanks.
All right. Let's talk to Megan, who's 15. Megan?
Hi, you guys.
Hey.
Oh, I love you guys so much.
Yeah. You want me to take your virginity in a few years?
Oh, that sounds great.
All right, I'll put
you
down.
Got to wait for about 3 more years. Sounds good.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I don't want to discourage you, but all you 14, 15-year-old chicks talk a pretty good story about losing it at 18.
No, I'm waiting until I'm 25, though.
25?
25.
Yeah, hold on a second. Drew, riddle me this.
Yes.
Every broad you talk to at 14 is going to lose her virginity when she gets married or at age junior year of college. But yet the average age is like 15 and 7 months.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, how does that work? You do the math.
I think it's getting better, for one thing. It's getting older.
What is the average amount of, like, let's say, I guess it's like the average amount of 14-year-old boys who say they're going to own their own surf shop. You know what I mean?
Or be an astronaut.
I thought I was going to be a pirate at 14. Seriously, I'm still clinging to that. There's still time for that.
You've mentioned it often.
And also, 14-year-old guys thinking they're going off to like a Stanford or a Ivy League type college. What percentage of them actually go? I mean, like, even when I was in the ninth grade, I'm partially retarded. I thought, no, I'll get my grades up around the 10th, 11th grade. I'll go off to some college one day.
Yeah,
junior college. Megan?
Yeah.
All right, so your parents are physically abusive?
Yes, like, for no reason, I'll be talking to them, and they bring up some stupid subject that happened, like, 2 weeks earlier, and they slap me, hit me with brushes, push me into things. I mean, I get a new bruise every 2 weeks.
Why don't you report this?
Well, I mean, I've threatened with physical abuse, like calling child whatever.
Protective services?
All they say is like, oh, if you do that, it just shows you don't love us. It's like, well, of course I love you. I mean, you're my parents, but...
Yeah, well, you don't have to.
Yeah.
What's their nationality?
I'm Caucasian.
No, white people.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's really weird because their family is really religious, but...
The average religious person does more beating than the average atheist.
Yeah, I blame it on the fact that my dad's Catholic and he was probably molested when he was younger.
Wow. Hey, good times.
Yeah, that's what I blame it on.
Oh, boy. Are you physically imposing enough to be able to sort of stand up to them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taller than my mom. I mean, I must admit that I have pushed her once, but, you know, nothing too serious. And my dad just recently got peripheral neuropathy.
Was he an alcoholic?
He was alcoholic, yeah. Like really heavy, and he's not diabetic or anything. So.
Well, that's from alcohol, the peripheral neuropathy.
What's that do, Drew?
It's damage to the nerves in the periphery, particularly in your legs.
Yeah.
What do you mean, the periphery?
Out towards the tips of your fingers.
Toes and your fingers?
No, your feet, basically.
Good.
It's bad times, and it means bad alcoholism, too.
Yeah, but he stopped drinking a while ago, so.
Well, is he in the program?
No, he wasn't. He just quit on his
own. Yeah, well, alcoholics that stop drinking can be horrible to be around. They're depressed, they're irritable, they're rageful. They're rageaholics oftentimes at that stage. So this is
I'm a chocoholic myself.
I'll
tell you what. I'll tell you. I love that chocolate. Hey, Megan.
Yeah.
So look, here's what you got to do. You have to stay away from your parents until you go far, far away to some college.
Well, that's one option.
I mean, that's well. This is going to be a mixed plan. I'm going to give
all
you.
Right.
You go to school, right?
Yes, I do.
You're not homeschooled or any of that nonsense?
Oh, thank God, no.
No. Now, you do anything at school? You play on the softball team or anything?
No, I'm kind of against the whole athletic thing.
Yeah.
Against it.
Right. You'd rather go home.
Yeah, I'm against it.
Rather go home, have your dad beat on you than to hang out and play a little softball?
Well, no, actually, we go up to the rec center and I work out most of the time.
Huh. So. Why are you against the athletic thing?
Because I'm kind of, to my view, mostly jocks do it, and I'm kind of against jocks and preps and all that stuff. I'm kind of the punk person, so I'm
angry.
Angry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm angry. I'm outraged.
Sorry, yeah, your mom's been beating on you. What does she expect?
Yeah.
I think you stand up to your parents. You don't let things escalate. You get out of there if they become threatening to you, and you call the authorities. That's it, period.
Okay.
You have a plan. You follow the plan. You tell them what the plan's going to be, and... You know, it's in their hands.
All right. And just please remember this little morsel of advice I give you and all the angry kids out there as parents beat on them. When I run into you at the rental car counter about 6 years from now, I'm not your dad. Don't give me a hard time.
Right.
Please. Don't make society pay. If you get molested, go kill the guy who molested you. And if you get beat on, go abuse the people who abused you. They get abused, and then they go out and abuse society. This is why the people that abuse them need to be abused by society. This is why when we get hold of these abusers, we need to beat the crap out of them as a society. Because their product has been unleashed on us.
Remember that girl last night that was so angry she'd been physically abused?
Right.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
The moment she opened her mouth, we picked up on it.
You know, like these jackasses, I always think about this. Well, every 6 months, some kid with the name of Jesse James something goes on a rampage, and they're tracking him. Oh, he was in Nevada last, and he's moving toward Colorado. Any jackass that gives their kid the Jesse James name, I'm going right to the parents beating the crap out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You name your kid Jesse James, he's 19, he stole a car, he's killed a few guys, and he's on the run. You surprised, you jackasses? Will?
Yeah?
Everyone should name their kid Seth so they come out pussies. That's my plan. Seth. It's a mellow name. Will?
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam's a nice mellow name, too.
No, it's the perfect name. Seth. The God.
Seth Adam.
What's up, Will?
I find myself jumping from one crush to the next, and I'm wondering if this is just a normal stage or raging hormones, or is this something psychological happening?
How long has it been going on for?
Oh, from I would say about the summer of 2000.
2 years, since you were like 14 or so?
Yeah.
And how often?
My first and last girlfriend.
How long do the crushes last for?
Ooh, until I tell them and they say no.
How long is that?
4 months.
So you got 3 crushes a year.
Till he tells them and they say no.
No, I think that's
he could have one crush a year if he didn't tell them.
Now she's on a road trip to Florida. So.
Not only do I think it's age appropriate, I think he's kind of ahead of the curve because most 16-year-olds obsess for about a year. and then never ask and just switch to another crush.
Right.
He's actually giving it 3 or 4 months, getting up the nerve, asking them out. They reject him. He doesn't stay obsessed. That would be the abnormal part.
Right.
Abnormal part is where you stay in no matter what the reality is. You get on to your next thing. That's fine.
I was just thinking about this as Will was speaking about crush to crush. You know, when you get older, everyone sort of settles in and finds somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at 16, and especially younger, 14, 15, it seemed to me like there was like one guy who wasn't dating 20 women, but he had like 20 chicks in. He was like, there was like the popular guy.
Alpha
like in,
male.
In junior high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was funny. The funny thing about the alpha male is, as I recall in junior high, he wasn't a big kid.
No.
He wasn't a dominating kid.
No.
Just, he was a kid. He was a cool kid.
Yeah.
And oftentimes a little undersized, a little spindly,
mm-hmm.
but cool. He had his own vibe, you know?
He had the right genes somehow.
Whatever it is, chick sniffed it out on him.
Yeah.
And this guy would go from chick to chick to chick and always had like 8 chicks in. So really, here's how it would work. If there were 100 women and 100 men, there would be 5 guys monopolizing the 100 women and then the other 95 of us just sitting home beating off on a peachy folder. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You get a little bit older, and people just eventually give in and just start pairing off.
Right.
You know, it's like, all right, there's 100 of you, there's 100 of us. Look, I know I'm no prize. You got a fat ass. Let's just team up and have some ugly kids. Call to life. But
people also they go from trying to sniff out the genes to just having a relationship.
Right. But at age 14, 15, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, there's like one or two guys that are really hoarding every woman. And even if they're not having sex with every woman, the women are holding out for them. And it's like, no. Later on, they realize they're no big prize.
Yeah.
And they lower their standards and they end up pairing off with people.
Or they change their standards.
Yeah, they lower them. But at that age, I just could remember them. They're like, no, I'm waiting on Todd. I'm waiting for Todd. That guy's name was Todd Euler.
I thought Chris.
Todd, no. Chris didn't start hitting his stride until high school, really. A little junior high, but Todd Euler, who's another friend of mine. Oh, he was so popular. He had a custom shirt. And Todd was one of these guys. He was a complete mystery to me because he would show up, you know, every summer. I wanted to strangle all these kids. Every summer, everyone would show up back, you know, in the next grade when the fall came around, and they'd be wearing a shirt that said, like, Hawaii 79 on it,
huh.
or you know, I went, you know, I think there was a lot of Yosemite shirts, like go climb a mountain, Maui,
yeah.
1980, you know, would say on it, and I'd have a shirt that said Van Nuys 1964. You know, like, they come up, so this guy Todd, he skied everywhere. That was his thing. It was like he went to Europe and skied, you know.
Okay.
And it's like, and he had a shirt that said "Ski Euler" on it. It was like an airbrushed painting of him, you know, caricature of him skiing. I mean, this is all it takes, by the way, to get your eighth grader laid, ladies and gentlemen. Is one thing. You know, I'm wearing the tough skins with the reinforced knees and the fake earth shoes. And Todd's got the airbrush shirts. Todd Euler.
In a tuck position.
Ski Euler, yeah. And he's going down the hill in his Ski Euler shirt. And I'm sure this shirt must have cost his parents like $12. But to my family, that thing was just, look, forget it. I might as well said, look, I want to enter Evel Knievel's Rolls Royce in the smash-up derby. It would have fallen on the same ears.
Yeah.
Same possibilities.
Yeah.
I would like to take a dirigible trip to Berlin. That was the same thing. It's getting like a shirt that had something written on it. Airbrushed. I couldn't even get the goddamn swirly art at the fair. You know, it was like $3. You take the ketchup container full of the paint and you squirt it on the on the piece of paper that's spinning around.
Very wasteful.
No way.
Very wasteful.
Oh my God.
How dare you?
No, that was crazy. What are you, one of the Rothschilds? Please. What do you own a railroad? You don't do that. Just all that custom crap, all that, you know, the sketch artist stuff. You go to Disneyland, you sit there, and they draw a picture of you on a skateboard with a girl chasing you and a heart bubble coming in. That stuff, it was like, you know, $7 or so. No, are you out of hand? $7. Idiots. All right, let's ski Euler. And we're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, spin art. Way out of the reach of the Corollas. I go to one of those fairs. I would just walk around, look around. That guy's shooting a BB gun. That guy's trying to pitch a hoop onto a Coke bottle. That guy's got the spin art over there. That guy's vying for a goldfish. Just take a look. I guess it was good enough just to be there. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You ever get any of that spin art?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello?
You know what that spin art is?
No.
You ever been to a county fair or carnival?
Yeah.
You ever see when they put the paper on that spinning wheel and they squirt it with paint?
No.
Never seen that?
Maybe it's not happening anymore. We have computers now.
I still think that stuff's around.
I would think.
All right, Jason, what's up?
Oh, yeah, about 2 weeks ago I had sex with a girl and now I'm like, my penis and everything's all itchy.
Yeah. All right. Said use the S word there, buddy, which is a no-no. And that S word, that ain't spin.
No.
And I don't believe him.
Not for a second.
No. Sounds full of crap to me.
No.
And I don't like his attitude either. Didn't know what spin art was. David. David, you're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
I lately have been, having trouble, talking to girls.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What happens?
Oh, I don't know. And I'm going to be in 10th grade now. Like, in 7th grade, I was, the pimp and everything, but,
7th grade.
But, lately, it just...
Did you have, an airbrush picture of yourself that you wore around?
Ski Euler?
No.
Hey, David?
Yeah?
You know the difference between veal and venison?
What kind of animal is a veal?
Kind of animal?
I have no idea.
No, venison. Veal?
Venison? What kind of
animal? You don't know veal, you don't know venison.
Venison's deer meat or something.
See?
Oh, well, he's calling from Boise.
From Boise, Idaho. There you go.
Probably it's a venison cereal in the morning. Deer bits. Frosted deer flakes. All right.
That's the only place I've ever had venison.
It's got to be the only place where somebody knows what venison is but doesn't know what veal is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you want to give a guess as to the kind of animal that veal comes from?
I don't know, a turkey or something?
Turkey.
Turkey, good times.
All right, so turkey meat, veal.
I guess so.
Isn't turkey meat just kind of called turkey, though?
I have no idea, too.
Well, you would have to admit that turkey is just called turkey, though, right? Turkey sandwich, turkey leg, right?
Didn't we have some other questions for this guy?
Right. And what's an emu?
It's like a big ostrich.
All right, bud.
Well, we had a fish we were asking about.
Two for three. Now, a lot of people guess veal was a fish.
Oh, really?
A lot of our listeners, yeah.
So what is it, then?
Veal?
Yeah.
That's a baby cow.
Oh.
Yeah. That's calf.
I think my dad probably doing that once.
Probably, yeah. All right, so you're having trouble talking to girls.
Yeah, yeah? If I'm in a group of people I don't really know that well, and if I don't feel like they want to talk to me, I don't talk to them at all. I'll just go and sit in the corner or something. But
well, that's sort of most males go through that phase,
right?
And they come out of it with varying degrees of success and with varying speed. So it's something you have to kind of get out there and practice and manage, because everyone has a certain amount of anxiety about being in new social situations, and particularly as the hormones turn on and the sort of stakes are upped. And, and maybe it's a true social anxiety problem. I doubt it, but see if you can't sort of learn how to negotiate social situations.
All right, let's talk to Rebecca. Rebecca.
Hi.
Venison, what kind of animal?
What kind of animal?
Yeah.
A venison?
Yes. What kind of meat?
I'm glad Rebecca was listening carefully during the last call. Yes, what kind of meat?
Well, that's really the beauty of our callers, too, is we can go ahead and talk about the answer and then ask the next one. A deer.
She got it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and veal?
Veal is a calf, a baby
good,
calf.
Good,
oh,
there you go. Good girl. And an emu?
An emu is an ostrich.
All right. All right. And a marmoset?
I'm sorry?
Marmoset?
Marmoset? I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, you can excuse that one.
That's good. That's fine.
We had another
three
one.
Three for
we,
four,
I swear
not
we had
bad.
A fish we were.
Or
we?
Three.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Well, my sister, she's 27 years old, and she's met this guy about, she's only been with him for 6 or 7 months, and he is so controlling. She has a son, he's already hit her. He
is
breaks
the son,
all her stuff.
Who is the son with, or who had, was the son with?
That's not his son.
I figured
it's
that.
Somebody else's son from my sister.
Yeah, but, all right, hold on a second. Let's do a love line reenactment here. I'll be Rebecca. Yeah, he breaks her stuff. He hits her. She has a son.
Who is the son with?
It's not his son.
I get that.
Yeah. Oh, it's my sister's son from somebody else.
That's with my sister.
With my sister. All right. Hey, Rebecca.
Hello.
Yeah, where's the dad, the biological dad?
Oh, that bastard went back to England.
Oh, okay. Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. He was English.
I see. That's why he went back to England.
Yeah, exactly.
Mexican guy wouldn't have made that move back to England, right?
All right. Would have gone back anyway.
All right. And Rebecca, now, are you doing okay? You don't have any kids? Or?
No, I don't have any kids.
Good.
No.
Okay.
Has she been in abusive relationships before?
Yes, she has. It's like a trail. And
is your dad abusive?
Yes.
He was an alcoholic.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't hit us or anything.
Well, he must have been kind of tough to deal with when your sister was, you know.
Yes.
And what's your deal? You big gal?
Me?
Yeah.
Big? What do you mean big?
Big, portly?
No, I'm skinny.
Skinny?
Yeah.
You
skinny, not fat.
Not fat. You with you a lesbian?
No.
Okay.
Why are you picking this weird stuff? I think we're getting normal from Rebecca.
Yeah, you're normal, right?
I'm normal.
Yeah.
I just have a deep voice.
No, I'm just curious. You have relationships, everything doing okay?
Yes. I have friends and I'm an actress actually, so I'm struggling.
Ooh.
And I just care very much about my sister. I'm very close with her.
Where does she live? Nearby?
She used to live with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to be roommates.
How does she support herself?
He supports her.
Oh, boy.
What's he do, construction?
No, he works for Paramount.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He's
a son of a bitch.
Okay. Well, she confides in you with
yes,
this
stuff. Yes, she
with
tells me
stuff.
All these things, and she won't leave him.
And he breaks her stuff.
Yes, he broke her piano, her guitar.
Is he an alcoholic? Also?
El Cabong syndrome.
Is he an alcoholic?
I'm sorry?
Is he an alcoholic also?
No, he doesn't do anything like that.
He doesn't drink, huh? And he spazzes out that way.
No speed or anything? Maybe he's doing something she doesn't know about.
No, he doesn't do any drugs. Nothing like that. He's like a lighting person.
Ooh.
Like those mover people, you know, the people that...
Yeah, it's like a gaffer.
Rebecca, it just doesn't fit that there wouldn't be a substance here. Your dad was an alcoholic.
Every gaffer's high.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Out of 100 gaffers, 103 of them will be high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know those gaffers. I work with them.
So if he's doing stimulants or something, maybe that's why he's getting so erratic. What you might want to do with your sister, well, what you should do is either get her to somebody, a therapist, or maybe take her some Al-Anon meetings or Adult Children of Alcoholics, ACA, something where she can... really kind of work on this, because this ain't going to change until she changes.
Hey, do you remember?
She needs this stuff the way it is.
Remember back in the day when you could, frequent way to kill somebody is to drop something on their head?
Mm-hmm.
Like every one of those...
safes.
Every third episode of Vegas was someone was trying to kill Wayne Newton, and there was always some sketchy-looking gaffer guy, and he was walking around up on the catwalk above
sandbags.
The stage, and he was loosening the rope with the sandbag. The chances of killing Wayne Newton with a sandbag got to be under 50%, probably high 40s, but still technically under 50. You got to line the guy up exactly with the sandbag or the lighting rig or whatever it is. Dan Tana would always fly in and knock them out of the way at the last second, then the thing would crash to the ground.
Yeah.
I guess today we smartened up. We figured we'd just put a bullet in someone's head. We want them gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't cut the brake lines of the car. We don't loosen the sandbag anymore. I think there was a little more creative the people who wrote for TV, and it was like, yeah, well, sure, we could put a bullet in the guy's head, but then the show'd be over in 11 minutes. We'll drop something on their head. And he used to throw anvils out the windows and safes and pianos and stuff. Nobody gets anything dropped on their head anymore.
And why were there enough people spending time on a stage who were potential murder objects that they would be there a sufficient period of time to have stuff dropping on them? Every episode.
It was always some dicey guy backstage, yeah. And it always worked this way. The hero would be out in the audience, and he'd be enjoying the show, but if we're always keeping a vigilance, you know, always keeping a watchful eye out. And he'd be looking around, and he'd be enjoying the show, and then he'd look up, and he'd see what was going on. He would start running for the stage, but people wouldn't know what he was doing. And he would hop up on stage. People were like, oh, man, what are you doing? You
know? Stop him.
And they'd tackle the guy and knock him down. And he'd knock him down, and he'd be like, what the F? What are you tackling? Wayne Newton. And then the thing would fall down, and then it'd be like, oh. That's when the chick, if he tackled the chick, that's when she'd fall in love with him. You tackled me. I could have had sand on my head, but you you stopped the sand. Travis?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
You work at a Taco Bell?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I applied at the...
Not anymore, but...
Yeah.
What happened?
Basically, my question is, I lost $23 in my till. I have no clue where it went.
Yeah, out of your register, you mean?
Yeah, on my register. Till. Same thing. But...
Oh, your till, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my question is, I've never been in this situation before. You know, I'm only 17, only been really working 3 months. Need someone to vent to. I need late at night. I need someone to give me some advice on what I should do.
Why didn't you offer just to pay them back?
I don't have the money to pay them back, and they wouldn't take it. That's not how their policy goes.
What's their policy?
It's basically you lost it, you lost it, you're screwed.
You have to pay them back an imitation guacamole.
Sour cream.
That's the only way. Yeah, listen, you guys still using that sour cream dispenser that's in a caulking gun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I find that disconcerting.
Yeah, so do I.
Listen, anyone who's in the upper management department of Taco Bell or any fast food chain, I know it's efficient. You guys got to apply the secret sauce and you got to apply the sour cream and everything via the caulking gun, but I don't want to see it from where I'm standing.
Right.
I'm constantly standing behind the counter looking ahead going, well, what's the guy going to do? Caulk his tub in? Oh, it's going on my burrito. the guy's putting silicone caulk on my burrito. Yeah, it's off-putting.
Yeah, I start thinking.
And it makes that ratcheting sound.
Yeah, and then what do? They just keep filling it up and stuff's been in there for a week. And how do they clean that thing?
No, they just pop a new cartridge in it like it's caulking.
Really?
Yeah, caulking gun. It's just a gun. And then you slap that plastic cartridge in it.
But listen, we'll talk to
you. Yeah, I don't go for that. Listen, you want to know how bad my life is?
Weighs on six.
I applied for a job at the Taco Bell North Hollywood when I was 16 by my high school. Turned down.
Good time.
Not accepted.
Did Travis?
Yeah.
So what do you need from us?
I just need to know kind of, you know, what should I do in this situation? Because I've never been in this situation.
Well, what can you do?
Well, hold on. This is a bogus call. You've never been in... You're 17 years old.
It's not a bogus call.
I mean, you're 17 years old. You got S-can from a Taco Bell. You think you're not going to recover from that?
Well, no. I know I'm going to recover, you know. I know I'll recover, but... Pretty much, my question is, it's just, how do I deal with the situation? Do I
Well, you got fired.
There's nothing to do.
What situation?
Well, I'm not fired yet.
Then offer to pay them back.
How can I fix the situation?
You got a manager over there?
Not at the moment, no.
No manager. What?
She's on vacation.
She's in Mexico looking for new recipes.
So who is enforcing this policy?
And it... Tons of different people that own stock.
Listen, Travis is bogus or high. His story's full of holes.
Yeah.
Let me ask him a couple of questions.
Really?
Travis, I want you to give me the Taco Bell menu. Go ahead.
Okay, you got your chalupas, gorditas, taco supreme, crunchy soft.
Mm-hmm.
You got burritos, seven-layer burritos, fiesta burritos, supreme burritos, double burritos.
I'm going to fart in a minute. Keep going. Double burritos. What about the bell beefer? Is that on there?
No, it's not.
Enchirito? Yeah.
What?
Enchirito.
Yeah, it's on there.
Yeah, but see, me and Taco Bell parted ways, and not amicably, by the way, when they pulled the bell beefer off the menu in 1978. That was the end of us. That was the end of the love affair.
Travis, but Travis, we don't understand what... you just talk to your manager, be contrite, be apologetic, explain yourself, offer to pay back.
Who figured out you were $23 light on your register?
Well, we have a shift manager. Every shift count everybody who's on the
pill. And he said you're fired?
What?
And he or she said you're fired?
No, but, you know, he's freaked out. I'm freaked out.
Sure. It's devastating, $23.
Yeah, well,
are you?
They look at that as a huge amount to be.
Are you? What do you get? Minimum wage over there?
Yeah, I am.
What's that? Is that different in Oregon than it is in?
It's $6.50. Yeah.
$6.50. That's not too bad. All right, and how many hours a week are you working?
12, 20. It all varies.
And you're working the register. You're not.
I'm not back online yet.
You're not working the caulking gun back there.
Working like front or drive through.
Right.
I bet you'll solve this. Just relax.
Just go over there and throw your manager.
Yeah. Don't be defensive.
Do you realize that I was turned down from Taco Bell, which was hiring. Turned down. At 16. Application denied.
Huh.
And when I got the job at the McDonald's 6 months later, was forbidden from working the counter. I was a grill man all the way. They weren't going to let me get up there and fraternize with the public.
Could be a PR problem.
Wouldn't you think a guy like myself would be just a beautiful marriage between me and the cash register and the public?
I just imagine you at 16, 17 as not being the most colorful person.
Are you kidding? I was a dynamite kid. How dare you? Sweeping and mopping the outside area. Do you realize that was my job?
You were depressed.
Sweeping and mopping.
You gotta have a smile.
Sweep and a mop. Give me a sweep and a mop of the dining area.
Good times.
Give me a sweep and a mop of the outside area, and I have 13-year-old kids making fun of me on their skateboards.
Remember in the 70s, no jobs. Remember that? No one can get a job.
How many white guys get turned down from Taco Bell? All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. All right. Let's pile back to the phones here, Drewski. Let's help these kids. Melissa?
Hi.
You're 23.
Yeah.
Need a nice way to tell your boyfriend that you don't like receiving oral sex.
Yes.
Don't like receiving it.
Yes. I know it sounds weird, but I don't know. It just doesn't really do anything for me. And I'm pretty sure he enjoys it and he likes doing it. But I don't know. It's just, it just doesn't do anything for me. And if anything, it like kind of makes me not so much into the sex after that.
Ooh.
But you like intercourse.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is that version of the female. The ones that easily orgasm during intercourse do not like oral sex.
Hold on. Do you easily orgasm during intercourse?
Like when he's in me?
Yeah.
Yeah. But once
you know
he starts going down there, it's like, okay, let's go. Like,
We've had this call a number of times.
Yeah, I guess so. It's like this isn't where you're getting your orgasm. So this is.
I think it's
this is a crappy dinner salad that comes before the entree. Just
I
get through it.
They find it irritating.
Stupid cherry tomatoes.
No, it's not just.
Who likes those cherry tomatoes?
I mean, from what I've read and what other girls say, I'm sure he has great technique and he's very attentive and creative and everything.
And not your bag.
But, yeah, it's just not in the bag.
Now, listen, you know what? Look, Melissa,
yeah. This
is exactly what you tell the guy. And believe me, if a woman told me this, I'd hand her an attaché case filled with, like, unmarked bills and a thank you card. That'd be the greatest thing ever. Because in order to dodge this bullet and not feel like it had anything to do, like, I mean, if you just say to the guy, hey, listen, I dig having sex with you, man, and I get off on it, and you know the oral sex? Not my bag. I don't know. It's like as some people like certain dishes, certain people like certain music, and they don't like certain things. For me, that's a 5.
I will also predict that she's multi-orgasmic.
Multi-orgasmic?
Usually.
Wow.
Usually.
I don't even know what this guy's doing.
He's doing nothing. This is just her.
I guess he's just very lucky.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he's doing going down on her. He's wasting all that valuable orgasm time.
He likes it.
I don't know.
No, he doesn't.
No.
He just thinks. No. Yeah, yeah. He thinks you need that.
He tells you he likes it.
Yeah.
You
know,
like,
just
tell him. Do I tell him while he's doing it? Or
no,
like,
you just tell him, look.
Dinner or what?
Does he know you have orgasms during sex?
Huh?
Does he know you have orgasms during intercourse?
Oh, my God, yeah. He always asks me, so how many times last time?
Yeah,
So he's very interested in his performance with you. So you tell him that the oral part, not included.
Do you like doing oral to him?
Not especially.
I wish I could do it more often.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem to like it too much.
Well, he's busy collecting orgasms from
me. Yeah.
Yes,
he doesn't like it. Yeah. I don't trust either one of these. Don't have kids. His priority is going to be all over the map. He doesn't like that. Drew's not a big fan of that either. To me, there's just nothing not to like about that oral. Nothing. And Drew's such a passionate man. You know what it is with you, Drew, is I think here's your problem. It's not that you're not a big fan of receiving oral sex. It's that you're such a passionate man and you're almost primate-like in your sex drive, that if you're receiving oral, that means you can't be more than a couple of seconds away from intercourse, so let's get to that. Let's get to that.
It's kind of the way I eat, too, right?
You eat, that's the way Drew eats.
Yeah.
He knocks the garni off the side of the plate, and he picks up the meat, and he starts eating it.
Never order an appetizer.
No, and if he ever gets something with a bone, he sucks the marrow right out of it, He gnaws a hole in it with an incisor, and he just vacuums the marrow right out of it.
Here we go.
All right.
Go on, Brett.
All right. All right, everybody. We're going to take ourselves a little extendo break, probably about 22 hours, and then we'll join you about 10 o'clock tomorrow night. What do you say there, Drew?
Tara's leaving. Tara don't call me Tara, goddammit, is going to France.
Oh, but coming back, yes?
Well, you thought it was her last night. Yeah, she's leaving.
No, but, you know, because Tara don't call me Tara, goddammit, said a couple nights ago, hey,
I'm leaving.
Wednesday night's going to be my last night, and the way she phrased it, I thought, well, maybe she's...
Yeah, I had the same thought, too.
You know, I mean, we go through phone screeners around here like KFC goes through sporks. Turn them over pretty fast.
What's a spork? No, don't say that.
It's a combination of a spoon and a fork.
Yes, I've seen those.
Yeah, they come in little pans. KFC was a good analogy because, you know, they do little cups of the beans and stuff.
Right, right. It's good.
Yeah, solid. A lot of guys would have had to think of that before the show, but not Big A.
I couldn't even follow you.
Yeah. All right, so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Spork saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.